When it comes to social media and business, we often get caught up in the multiple ways we can possibly push our products and services out there. But what if you took a step back and focus on building a strong online community first and build up a strong following who are keen to hear what you have to say? I talk about building the know, like, and trust factor a lot on this podcast. But the truth is, I talk about it because it actually works. Today's guest is Debbie Hatamali-Ui, who is a living, breathing example of someone who accidentally found success by simply being herself online. In this episode, she shares a few tips and gives us a look behind the scenes to see how the development of an online community has helped her and a crafting business, only the sweet stuff. Let's dive into the episode. Welcome to the Marketing and Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. The show features a beautiful blend of guest and solo episodes covering marketing and business growth topics, as well as ways to improve your physical, mental, and emotional self. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, and I run a health and wellness copywriting agency while also offering content marketing training. So whether you're keen to outsource or DIY, my team at Right Time Marketing is here for you. Either way, we'll ensure your message is seen and heard by your ideal client. If you're keen to connect, feel free to book in a free 15-minute chat after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. And today, I'm joined by my guest, Debbie Hatamali-Ui. Welcome, Debbie.
Hi. Great to be here.
Great to have you. So we've known each other for I don't know how many years. We knew each other from like my last corporate job, I guess. Mm-hmm. And we've somehow kept bumping into each other because through dancing, like where I was doing dancing, like, oh, Deb, you're here. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And then just, yeah, being business owners, we just kind of keep bumping into each other. But yeah, I'll just read out your bio so everyone knows who you are. So Debbie is an accidental e-commerce business owner. She's currently on, you have here inverted commas, maternity leave, because she's what you're working very, through it.
Yeah, emphasize the inverted commas.
Yeah. Having founded Only the Sweet Stuff when pregnant with her second son, Debbie has had 15 years corporate marketing experience, but doesn't credit the success of her business to this. She's also a performing artist, having taught dance for 15 years and playing the piano since she was a little girl. She's a mum of three and fur mum of two. Very awesome. So let's kick things off. And can you share us a little bit more about your business journey? What's brought you to where you are today?
Sure. So yeah, so right now my business is called Only the Sweet Stuff. The name comes from, I actually used to make cakes and cupcakes and slices and all of that stuff because I loved baking. And that was my first maternity leave. And then I had to go back to work, or as I say, real life. So I couldn't continue the baking journey, but I still do it every now and then, you know. But when it came to, I was pregnant with my second. And as with my first, I had really bad nausea, and I had, what's that? You know, the HG. I can't. Yeah. I can never. Yes, that, the one where you're just sick all the time. Yeah. So I had that, and my husband saw that there was this fancy machine, and I had been YouTubing this machine, and it was a cutting machine. So basically, allowed you to be creative, you know, and make things out of, you know, using materials like vinyl, cardstock, that type of thing. So then one day the machine ended up at Costco, and it's not a cheap machine. It was like a, you know, $700 machine when it came to like the bundle and stuff. But my husband said, look, you need something to keep your mind off the nausea. Let's go get the machine. So we went to get the machine. Actually, when I say we, it wasn't me. He went to get the machine, and he brought it home. And then I just started making stuff. And literally all I did was share my creations on Facebook and on my Instagram. And then all of a sudden people were like, hey, Deb, I really like that. Can you make me one? And I'm like, okay, yep, sure. And then that turned into, you know, every day there was like two or three people messaging me saying, Deb, I need that, you know. And it was around the time, it was around November. So people were already in that frame of mind of, you know, what am I going to get for Christmas? So, yeah, then, you know, here I am pregnant, you know, and sick. But I had this thing that kept my mind active and it allowed me to mesh my kind of creative, you know, graphic design kind of skills and styling aesthetic, which I gained through marketing and through, you know, kind of like my corporate world. And then, yeah, just orders started flowing in. So pretty much that Christmas period, I had paid off the machine times two. I had paid off all my materials. And I was busy, like to the point where, because I was still working, I had to buy the portable machine, not just the big machine, the portable machine, and bring that to the office. Because I had to make stuff in my lunch hour. So, yes, so then that happened, January rolled around, you know, orders started kind of, you know, dwelling down a little bit because Christmas was over. But then I was like, hold on a second, like this has just made me money and all I've done is share my journey, right? So then, you know, I started making more. I opened my Etsy store. I opened, and shortly after that, I opened my Shopify store. And then I had given birth and, you know, and then it just kind of grew from there. So things have changed a little bit since that day when I got that Cricut machine. I'm still a crafter. I'm still making things, but my focus has changed. So utilizing my marketing background and my corporate experience, I've kind of moved into working with B2B. So B2B means business to business. So I gained so much more satisfaction dealing with other people that are in the same shoes as me, other people that are trying to, you know, make a little bit of money on the side, selling these items, working at night when the kids are asleep, you know, planning their social media off their phone when they're nap trapped. You know, these are my people. These are my people. So, yeah, so now my focus is more into what's trending right now in the crafting world. How do I source those items? How do I work with suppliers overseas to produce those items in a way that's crafting friendly, but also how do I get them to Australia and you know, in my crafters' hands with enough markup to make sure that they make a profit when they go to sell at a market, or you know, that when they open up their Etsy store and they sell online. And with that, because I've got a bit of like my kind of social media experience has allowed me to manage and promote my journey all through organic content. And all through organic sharing. And I don't have, like, my husband's a photographer, actually. He doesn't do it anymore, but he still has all the gear and he's got the training to, you know, run professional photo shoots if I wanted to. But I don't, because I want my content to be as relatable as possible. And that's what's equated into me being able to call this a business and to make an income. Yeah, so, I mean, that's a bit of a whirlwind way of how I got here, you know. And when I say accidental business owner, it truly was an accident, because all I did was just make and create things and share my journey on social media.
And was that just on your, that's just on your personal news feed, right? There wasn't, you didn't create groups or anything like that?
No. So I started off in my personal page, but then when I realized, oh, I've already got a brand, I've already got Only Sweet Stuff with a logo, I shifted to that. So that's why I repurposed the logo that I had, the pages that I had, which had a small audience, you know. And then only when I started dealing with B2B and selling blanks, and when I say, like, when products moved faster, that's when I opened up a Facebook group. And that's purely for blanks customers. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think? Was it just like the engagement that then led to all these customers, that influx? Like, what do you think that you did? Was it a lot of videos? Like, what kind of content did you put out there? Why do you think it was so successful? Or was this an idea?
I'm going to answer that twofold, because I don't think it's the actual pieces of content that was successful. I think the underlying theme is that the content was relatable. So things are shot on my phone. Things are shot in natural light. Things are shot with a shaky camera that's really unproduced. I get on stories pretty much every day, you know, and my wins are my customers' wins. So when someone messages me and says, oh my God, my items are here, you know, I joke and I say, and it's not really a joke because I am really happy. I say that, you know, I don't need to check Australia Post because my customer tells me that their items have arrived, right? Because I purely want to create a community through the content that I'm pushing out. So, I answer that question with, you know, with caution because yes, I could say, you know, my number one performing pieces of content are always time lapses because they are, right? Time lapses, product of me making something, stills shot in natural light. They're all my best performing pieces of content, but I really don't think that, you know, that is, you know, the silver bullet. It's really that it's relatable content. And, you know, for example, when I do a time-lapse video of the production, I always give a tip. Like, for example, you know, a pain point for crafters is what we call weeding, right? So when you cut it out of vinyl, it sometimes can take up to like 15 minutes of like tedious work to pick out all of the offcuts, right? So I found a way to reverse weed, which means that I can cut out a decal and weed the decal in less than a minute, right? And because I was able to do that, I was able to do 30 coffee cup orders in 2 hours instead of it taking a whole weekend, which is what it did in the past, right? So, and when I do time-lapse videos, I always put that tip as the forefront, right? So it could be a time-lapse, it could be a still photo, it could be a video. I could spend an hour taking a YouTube video telling you how to reverse weed. See, so it's not the channel or the piece of content that's the winner here. It's the fact that it's relatable content that I know other business owners in my shoes will appreciate.
Fantastic. Okay, so today's episode, we're talking about building a community first and then the sales will come. I guess you kind of touched upon that, but do you want to just expand on what you mean by that?
Yeah. Well, you know what? The way I see it is that all of my customers, they're my friends too, right? And I want to grow my friend network and therefore grow my customer base from that, right? I'm not saying, you know, you have to be friends with everybody, but everyone knows Only the Sweet Stuff is synonymous with me and I am synonymous with Only the Sweet Stuff, right? So, and I hope my customers know that, you know, they could call me like they call a friend and be like, Debbie, I'm in a pickle. I can't get this stock in, or I need this item. And customers do this. They call me and they're like, Deb, I'm down the street. Any chance my order's ready? You know, I want to have that relationship. And I want to have that relationship with my customers because that's how communities are made, right? Like, and when you are with a group of people that are all in the same boat as you, and they're all trying to, you know, make an income out of this from home when they're stuck home with the kids and, you know, whatever their situation is, I'm there to help, right? Because I know that if you guys get a win, you make that sale, you best believe I'm right there with you being that cheerleader, because when you make a sale, then I get satisfaction from that and my business expands too, right? So yeah, I guess people always ask me, like, why do you share so much? You know, and I don't want to overshare. That's not what I'm saying. But why do you share like your secrets? You know what I mean? Like, I could, you know, that reverse weeding hack, you know, like I could have kept that to myself and, you know, told everybody that, you know, I have an hour turnaround instead of, you know, 2 day, 3 day turnaround. And then the customers would come to me, you know, because they need a last minute gift or whatever it is. I could do that, right? But I don't want to, because like my whole ethos of this business is to be as relatable as possible. And the more people that are here that are creating and making things, yes, there's competition, but everybody has their own patch. I can't do the things the way that you do it, and you can't do the things the way that I do it. Right. So there is room for all of us. That's really what my train of thought is on all of this, is that yeah, I want to create relatable messages and relatable content so that I can build a community around me.
Yeah, and I say to people all the time, you know, when, because I'm all about content marketing, right? And that, most of the time that's free content, and people freak out. I mean, this podcast alone, all this amazing content for nothing. And I have had people say to me, but, you know, you're giving away all this stuff for free. Like, don't you want to make money from it? And the thing is, like, I heard a podcast once. I know I've mentioned this in the show before, but if you, I heard a podcast was like, you ultimately want to create a piece of content or content series that is so valuable and amazing that people think, wow, if this is what I can get for free, imagine what I get if I paid for it. And so ultimately that's kind of what you're aiming for, right? You want to make sure that people are like, oh, this is really great. I mean, the transparency in regards to you would be very valuable. Like, oh, great. I can see, yeah, you're relatable. You're honest. I see you as a friend, not someone up on this pedestal that I admire. But and 1 hour turnaround, I could never do that. You know, so it's a whole different angle. And I'm like you. I also, my business, sale business, yeah, growth is all thanks to me. Like, it's often me that people want to work with me. Mm. And so I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
So
and just on back on that is that I mean I see myself as a crafter first, right? A crafter first, and then secondary to that, I'm an e-commerce business owner where, you know, I will source the items that are trending or whatever it is that I will find useful in my business. Then that will help others, right? So, and content is a way for me to cement myself as, I hate the word thought leader, but thought leader. you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, I want to be an expert in my space, not to say that I have nothing else to learn. I always have something more to learn. But if I learn, then everybody else learns as well, you know? So really, like, as I said, like, in order for me to succeed, and the whole premise of my business is that I'm a crafter first. Like, I could just, anyone can go and source the items. Like, you know, you can go, order samples, tweak the samples, send them back, you know, and that's, you know, that's what I do. But because I have the crafting experience, I'll know, oh, that's not going to work because of X reason. You know, that transfer tape's too tacky because I know when you're using vinyl, it's going to pull up the offcut as well as the vinyl. Then that's going to set you back 20 minutes. You know, a normal person wouldn't know that unless you're on the tools. Yeah,
fantastic. All right, so do you have some tips to share for anyone who really wants to build that online community and never really done it before, scared by it or whatever the case may be?
Yeah. First thing is be yourself. I know it's a little bit daunting to come on camera, and like for the first year of business, I didn't. I didn't do any stories. I didn't do, you know, I was never on camera, you know. And me as a performing artist who's used to being in the spotlight, it's a juxtaposition, right? But be authentic, whether that's, you know, through how you're talking. Like, don't feel like you need to be corporate or you need to be a certain, just be genuine. The second thing is the content that you're pushing out doesn't need to be 100% perfect. You know, I, as a marketer myself, I know, like, everything when you're working in corporate land, like, if there's a spelling mistake, it's like, you know, gives me heart palpitations. You know, if you don't make a deadline, you're in trouble, you know, that type of thing. But the way that I see it in my business is that most of the time I'm doing this at night when it's 11 o'clock at night. I want to watch Netflix, but I can't. And the way I see it is that that piece of content either goes out or it doesn't at all, right? So if it goes out with a spelling mistake or not as much detail as I'd like, that's still better than it not going out at all, right? So, So I think my tip on that side would definitely be to be okay with it not being okay for now, because when you grow and when you're able to have some help and you have a crowd of people around you that is able to push you up, you know, then you can worry about the 100% perfect content that goes out. My other tip is to batch create content if you can. So every time I make something, I always make sure to have a time lapse, have photos of the final item, have items of the process to and from, right? You should see my photo of my iCloud. I pay a subscription to Apple and they take my whatever $15 every month and it's always full because I always want to have more content than not enough, because you never know when you're going to use that content, right? So one photo can be turned into a boomerang if you push it as a live photo on your stories. There's the infinity symbol that turns it into a boomerang. Then you could use that on your website as product photo. Then you can use that as part of a reel if you wanted to. You know, those slideshow reels where it just flashes up a whole lot of images. One of my best performing pieces of content is that. You could use that, in a story. So say, for example, you want to do a launch, or, when I say launch, I say that loosely. I mean, like, you want to tell everybody that you've got a new product, right? You might put that image in the story, So one piece of content just from that one photo can be used all those different ways. So it's about being really smart and batch creating that content. But also the number one tool that I use is a scheduler. So there's heaps of schedules out there. There's Planoly, there's later.com, and there's some of them are paid, some of them are not. Canva is another one, obviously. But I use later.com simply because they have like a freemium version. So if I wanted to, I could pay a little bit more and have like 30 posts a month or whatever. But I don't post that much, so I don't. But what I do is I batch create that content. So if I know I have half an hour while Chris is asleep, and I have my phone on me, I would create that content in Canva. So I might do like a quote graphic. Every Monday, I alternate between a quote graphic and a testimonial, right? So a testimonial, someone's given me the feedback, and then I turn that into a graphic on Canva. And the same thing with a quote, if there's something that I like, I turn that into a graphic on Canva in my colors. I generate that content in Instagram size, and then I schedule that. So then in my later.com, if I'm nat trapped, I'm able to write the copy, write the caption, schedule that in for next Monday, and then not have to worry about it, and that's the best thing for me, because the thing with building a community and building social media, building an audience around you, is that you need to be consistent. And when you're a mom, you can't, right? Like, I mean, it's too hard. The way that I see it is that those kind of tips are like, that really, really works for me. Batch creating that content when you have the time to make something, and then making sure that that content is in your scheduling system so that you don't have to worry about it later.
Love it. Some really great tips there. I have always tried to batch my own content, but honestly, it's usually more ad hoc, and I get my marketing assistant great other stuff. Yeah. But yeah. Definitely, like 100%, when you're making products, like you're probably, because if you're selling it, don't have the opportunity to take photos again. So you have to do it all at the same time. So obviously it's very different, like for me, because it's a service, or it could be a website, which is online. I can always go back to it unless they change it. But 100%, I totally get that. And I want to ask you as well, like, so you've decided to target like, to the B2B approach. Do you think things would be very different if you went down the B2C route? Do you think it would still work the same way, or you think your success is because you're speaking to your people who are trying to be successful like you?
So I started B2C. So I started B2C, and to be honest, I haven't changed anything in my aesthetic or changed my strategy or my tone of voice at all when I'm talking B2B, because the way I see it is that the B2B customers, they're all small business owners like me, and they're all people like me, right? So I haven't changed anything in that front. My content pillars may have changed. Like, I'm doing more of the hacks and, I found this tip and, whatever I find is helpful. I have changed that and I've put more of a focus on that, but that also helps, B2C. Like my audience, like some people, they really, like some business owners tell you to niche down as much as you can. And in a way I have, now that I'm concentrating on B2B, but I haven't niched down in my audience. I will still talk to everybody as if they're part of my tribe, as if they're part of my community, regardless of whether you're a business owner or not. Yeah.
And so what are your thoughts as well on Facebook groups versus pages?
Yep. So I have both. I have a Facebook group and a Facebook page. And the reason why I started the group is because I wanted to exclusively have a place where people that wanted to buy blanks would know about things before my wider audiences. And I found it really helpful to test the waters in that group as well. So every so often I kind of say, hey guys, I'm looking at this item, you know, it'll take me X amount to get here, but what do you think? You know, and often I'll get messages on things that I have never thought about. Like, for example, I had these Easter tutu baskets for Easter hunting, obviously. And I didn't even think about putting a vinyl name on the band of the item. And you know, I never thought about these Easter sacks that I had, the Easter bags with the bunny ears. I never thought about tying the ribbon up the top to make that an Easter sack. Like, I didn't think about that. Right. So putting it out to my group, and kind of say, look, it's not like they don't have to buy it if they don't want to, but like, we're only as good as the ideas that we all get as a collective. Right. So, yeah. And everybody loves participating, in that. I've started doing like monthly, a competition's not the right word, like a creative exercise. I don't know what you call it. Basically, I have a selection of blanks and I put up a photo of those blanks, and I put it out to everybody and say, hey guys, what would you come up with when you're creative? And the person that has the most creative ideas will win the pack. You know, so it is a competition in a way, but in a way crowdsources it, because I know that people will then read through that trail and be like, huh, I didn't think about that. You know, I'm maybe going to borrow that, and I'm going to expand that idea, and then I'm going to put it out to my customers, and all of a sudden you have a new product line, right? Yeah. So you can't go wrong with collectively being creative, and I think the Facebook group is the perfect place to do that.
Love it. And so what are the blanks, just to clarify?
Oh, yeah, okay. So in the crafting world, and personalization, for example, say, can you see this? This way. So this is an AirPod case, right? And it's a clear case. So I've vinyled my initials on it, right? So the blank is the actual AirPod case without anything on it. So a crafter would buy the blank from someone like me, a supplier, add their own flair on it, and then sell that to a customer. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for clearing that up. Because you mentioned a couple of times, I'm like, I just need to make sure I know what that is. Awesome. Obviously, not in the crafting world. Not my thing.
That is okay.
Me, look, I did sewing in high school, like year 7, year 8 or whatever. And I would like do one or two stitches and ask the teacher, is this right? Is this right?
Yeah.
Like my grandmother was a dressmaker. So sorry, grandma. At least I can do cooking. So I inherited that from her and my other grandmother. But sewing, I'm just
I can't sew.
Perfectionist. That's and any other kind of craft thing, I don't know, it never seems to match what's in my brain. So it just frustrates me. But I also wanted to ask you, and now it's a skate. Oh, no. So it's an example of another Facebook community that's worked really well that I'm in. It's by Samantha Melbourne, and it's a dressmaker. And I was introduced to her stuff about a year ago from someone in my BX community. They're wrap dresses, basically.
Okay, yep.
And I was told years ago wrap dresses would work well for my figure because I'm kind of the inverted triangle kind of thing.
Yep.
And so she has a Facebook group, and I don't know how many people are in there, but there's a lot. And it's all very interactive in terms of looking at some new fabrics for dresses. What do you think? And she'll share like 2 or 4 different fabrics, get everyone's feedback going, yes, no, because we're going to buy it. And we love being part of the process. And then because we're part of the community, we get told first of all when things are released and, all that kind of stuff. Yep. So that's just one example of group that I'm in that I know that I enjoy hanging out in. I love giving the feedback. We share photos of us wearing our dresses. And I shared one. I was at this conference like a couple of months ago, and I had a stall, and I recognized the dress of the woman next to me.
Oh,
it was one of the by Samantha dresses, and I was wearing one too. And I'm like, got a photo. Yeah. And she didn't even know there's a Facebook community, but she's like, I'm so going to join that.
Yes.
So just from my own personal experiences, that having those kind of groups, look, mine, I have the, you know, the Marketing Me community, which I'm only really starting to grow now, which used to be my meetup group. Now I've kind of moved the podcast over to that space as well. But I know I need to put a bit more effort into that. So, I mean, do you have any tips for me in terms of like, just if you're starting from absolute scratch and people aren't engaged, like how do you get that engagement happening?
So, I mean, I'm no expert and I could do so many more things with the group. So I guess what the way you can schedule a lot of the content, and I would do engagement focused content first. So, so things like that competition idea, you know, sharing, like asking the community, what would you do with this? Or, you know, what is the number one, question that you get, you as a marketer, when a business person comes to you and says, I need marketing help, like, you know, what is the number one question? So you could do a series on top five FAQs or whatever it is, you know, and then kind of everybody would kind of chime in and say, oh my God, I get that too. Like, you know, and you can't force it, right? You can't force it at all. And a lot of my engagement is purely organic. And my Facebook group has grown purely based on referrals. So people are, you know, somebody says, oh, does anyone know where to get this glass can shaped cup from? And one of my customers goes, hey, Owners Witsup has it, you know, and then all of a sudden I get five people join my group, you know? And really all it is having a place for that like-minded conversation, you know. I would love to start a series on, I would love to start a series on, you know, I've got these new can glasses, which I do actually. I've got these new can glasses in a 400 mil instead of a 600 mil. What would you do with them, you know? And people would love to chime in, like that other competition idea that I told you about. I had a blank bookmark, right? So acrylic bookmark. Normally all I would do is put a name on it in a nice pretty font in maybe a rose gold color, you know, and that's the extent of my creativity, right? Someone else said, I'll turn the bookmark into a ruler, like with the centimeters out of vinyl. And I'm like, mind blown. I'm like, duh, like, why didn't I think of that, right? And then if you have a ruler on it, you can put a name on the other side, you know. Yeah. So I would just try to think of questions to foster that communication, but also to, like, have it as a place where people can share their thoughts and their, you know, their kind of questions in a way that it's not so intimidating, I think. Yeah. And then you'll start to get the community happening, and then you'll start to get the comments coming through. Yeah. Does that answer the question?
No, that's brilliant. Thank you. I'll come to that. So it's been a really great conversation. I want to ask you one last quick question, and then I go into my regular guest questions. And where do you see social media going? Like, do you think these Facebook groups are going to be around another 10 years? Do you think there's going to be a whole, I mean, I don't touch TikTok. I think I've only seen a couple of things that happen to be pushed across to Instagram. Yeah. Snapchat never went there. Like, what are your thoughts on the social media world and the future?
So the latest, one of the latest studies that I have just read says that internet usage is up. And that doesn't surprise anybody, right? So I feel like the channels, as in the social media channels, whether it's Facebook, TikTok, whatever it is, they'll come and go. I think the channels itself will come and go. The way that the information is consumed, and new channels will come and replace those old channels all the time. But I feel like the way of communicating with others online will never go, you know? So I think social media will always exist in some sort of form, you know, and whether it's called social media, whether it's called online communication, whether it's called, I don't know, blogs, right? Because they were social media before. I think it will still always be around. It's just about us adapting to where it is right now. Like, I don't have a TikTok. I mean, I have a TikTok right now, but I don't really get on it. Like, I went on the other day and I had 5 messages and I'm like, oops, right? And I'm a social media marketer, right? I should be on all of the different channels, but you humanly can't. Like, you just don't have enough time. So, I think the premise of the way that we communicate, nothing will replace that. Like, everything has moved online, whether it's via phone or whatever device it is. The channel will change, I think.
Yeah, because I wonder for myself, because I, out of habit, you know, look at my phone, oh, yeah, Facebook. I look at notifications, oh, nothing interesting. I skim read, I'm like, oh, I'm just bored, but I'm just seeing birthday anniversaries. Like, that's all that seems to pop up in my newsfeed. And a psychological thriller book community I joined, that stuff, and some business stuff. But I actually feel bored. And so I do wonder, like,
yeah, whether it's,
you know, it's going to keep up its momentum. I think it needs a bit of a shake up, because I'm not a video watcher. So I think it's probably why I'm not big on TikToks and all that. Yeah. I don't know. For me, I'm like, I prefer to read. Like, I don't, I get enough stuff going into my head every day. I'm like, I don't need extra crap. killing my brain.
I get that. And then that just highlights the importance of your content being, the content that you're consuming being relatable and resonating with you, right? If you were a crafter and you were in my community, then you would find it really interesting, you know, all the time lapse videos, or what is she making, or what's new. You would find that really interesting, right? But you're not in that
community. Well, the book group, I'm always like, oh yeah, what's in this book? So I'm like, because my sister got me onto that, and that's got, I don't know how many thousands of people in it all over the world. And so that one, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, adding to my to-read list, and that I'm interested in. The business related networking stuff, I'm always interested. Yeah. But yeah, if it doesn't pop up my newsfeed, because you're just relying on the algorithm to show you what you want to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's interesting to see
is interesting, and we'll see a lot, I think, in the next year or so. Like, for example, that how Facebook pulled the publishing, so the news related content and news publishing related content, how they pulled it, and basically they said, today Facebook decided not to push that out, you know. So that's what I mean by the channels will change. The channels itself will change, but something else will pop up. There will be a new way to consume the content soon, and you know, and it's our job to kind of to see what we can use to benefit our communities, pretty much. Yeah
love it. All right, so I mean, one of the typical questions I always ask my guests is what's the best form of marketing for your business. But I think that's pretty much been this episode, so I want to skip on to the next one, which is, how do you take care of your health and wellness, Deb?
Oh, well, if you have any tips for me, I will take that. How I take care. So self-care is so hard. And, you know, the way that I do it is, I mean, I like to work. Like, I like to tick things off my list, and I like to, you know, be able to say, okay, I finished that, you know. And I get anxiety when I don't. So when I have my Shopify list and there's, you know, 50 orders that just need to be packed, you know, if I can see it go down from 50 to 45 to 40, you know, and even if it's only 2 a day, then I'm okay, right? So my self-care is blocking out the time so that I can humanly be able to accomplish things within that, you know. And that's really hard for me, because I'm used to working in a corporate environment. I'm used to working really highly productively. You know, so for example, I used to be the social media manager at McDonald's, and I used to run social media government teams for across government departments. So, and I'm used to high volume, get things out quickly. You know, I'm used to that. But my self-care is learning to be okay with the little wins, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And being okay with, okay, I'd love my business to be, you know, the next Amazon, but that's not going to happen right now, but it might in a couple of years' time if I take the small steps to get there. So yeah, I guess my self-care is take, like, time blocking that time, but also taking the time for myself to wind down at the end of the day. You know, I actually find it really relaxing to watch a webinar and take something from that, because I know if I've identified that webinar as something I want to do, I want to be able to tick that off, before I go to bed. So I find it relaxing. That's weird, right? I'm a nerd, but
no, I'm the same. But being productive is soothing, and I rather than feel like I've got a massive list I haven't got through. So I do get that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, and one last question is, how can people connect with you?
Oh, sure. So I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. Only the sweet stuff. If you search me, it will come up. I have my Facebook group, which you can join. So it's Only the Sweet Stuff blank VIPs. I also have a newsletter on my website, which you can sign up for. I'm a little bit behind in my newsletter, just saying. but I am getting a new team member on board. So hopefully more comms will come out. And I can't wait for that day. So yeah, no, you can find me on pretty much all those channels. And by all means, like, message me if you find something that was helpful out of this podcast, or, you know, you want some more information, like, feel free. Honestly, I'm just, you know, just message me.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. It's been really insightful. And just hearing more about your business and how it all has come about. Because obviously, see things pop up, and I'm like, oh yeah, she's doing the stuff, and I know she's busy, but I had no idea what was kind of happening behind the scenes. Yeah. So that's really cool. But yeah, thanks for joining me, Deb. It's been great.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And thank you, dear listener, for tuning in. You can find show notes to the episode at marketingandme.com.au. If you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating and review via Apple Podcasts, and grab a screenshot of this episode and share it across your socials to get the message out there. If you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton and let me know you're a fan of the show. You can also find me on Instagram under LeanneShelton247, or book in a free 15-minute chat, because I'd absolutely love to chat about how I can help you grow a thriving health and wellness business. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.